Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundry with the Sunday, January 24th T-Theory Observations. The chart that we're going to be looking at today is the long-range T-Theory 40-year cycle. And I have done this in the previous times by using different techniques. I just thought this sort of simplified everything. The important features that you see in there are the we have the observation that the you have periodic highs and lows at roughly highs coming at 40-year intervals and lows coming at 40-year intervals, which means that you go from a high to a low in about 20 years, then from low to a high in 20 years, and then from high to the next low in 20 years. And you can see that drawn into the oscillator. And those are those highs are all pretty well spaced on the top evenly, and the lows are pretty well spaced with some judgment on my part to kind of make sure everything is okay. And you see that the next 40-year cycle low, which is in green with a low question mark after it, is expected to be in the 2010 area to the 2020 level. The that's just sort of a big area that is we'd like to kind of pin down to be a little bit closer. And so what I've done is I've invoked up in the top part of the chart, which is from 29 to the present, which is the Dow Jones Industrial Average or its predecessors, observations that the 29 top, the 68 peak, and the 2007 peak are separated by 39 years, which certainly qualifies itself as a something approaching 40 years. And then the only completed bottom we have is from 32 to 74, which is 42 years. And so assuming that that data is more or less more significant than this idea that you generally have a nominal 40-year cycle, what you assume is that the next low from the 74 low is either 39 years, which would give you a 2013 low date, or it's 42 years, which is the bottom to bottom, only one sample. From 74, and if you had 42 years to 74, you get 2016. That's sort of in the range that was generally predicted by the green low area, and so that's roughly speaking what you get. Now, in the earlier iterations that I have done, I've used channel theory to try and argue that the depressions, which are the more serious declines, come every other 40-year cycle. So, for example, I have a depression in the period that's just before 1850, and then you have a low just before 1900, but that's a mild low. And then you have a heavy low in the 30s, and that's the alternating cycle. So it would be more like there's 80 years separating those two depressions there. And then you have a low, next 40-year cycle low is in 74-82 time period, and that is a mild low because you don't get the depression the next time. So the next in that pattern, I'm assuming that the next low is the one that's the depression. And so up at the top, I have just put down up at the top red trace there, I have a depression in the 1850, a depression in 32, and then I have a depression which is basically underneath the 2013-2016 time period. Depression means that it's more serious, and depression means it's deflation, not inflation. So when you're looking at strategies, you have difficulties in trying to, we have a bullish gold forecast, but the gold apparently is not a hedge against inflation. It's a method of storing value when all of the storage mechanisms, equities would be the major casualty, but various other things would tend to collapse, and so that it's the ownership of gold bullion which would be the defense against a depression. There is a smooth green line as a 200 year month moving average, 200 month moving average. You'll notice that the last low, it just clicked it, popped down below it, and then it popped back up. You see the 74 low cut that green line and popped back up again. But you'll see in the depressions, what happens is you cut it and then you keep going down. There's a little bit of an ambiguity in this rally that we're having now because it has made a successful test of the green moving average, which means it penetrated it and then it came back, which is the best way to do it, because then you're sure it's an oversold condition that you've never seen before. And when people are talking about the problems, you notice they keep talking about the 1930s like environment. They're not talking about a 1970s type environment. So that pretty much is the confirms that what you're seeing superficially is a period where business is going to slow down. You're going to have high unemployment, and that's generally an error for high quality bonds. Now I had some questions, and so I'm going to, as I do this, then I'm going to start talking about the questions that came about, and give you my best answer of that. Now I just noticed that there's a 1929 sticking in the artwork right under the in the looks like about the 1990s. I'll have to get rid of that when I do this. But in any case, this is the general summary, is that when we look at this, we say to ourselves that I say to myself that what you got is this problem of the fact that you haven't seen the real low yet. And it's I had previously put the 2000 as a peak, because that's where the oscillator, the blue oscillator, was up as high as the 29 period, and that's also where the stocks were ultra high on the PE ratios and so forth. Then we had this decline for 4.5 years, and you see the oscillator came up, but then it dropped sharply to the zero line. That's just the other advanced decline, the previous advanced decline T that went by. And then this pounce up here is an advanced decline T that expires in late August of this year. So assuming this thing isn't going to make a tremendous explosion to the upside, if we start to turn down and we go below the zero line on the oscillator and we head low, then the goose is cooked, you know. The whole period from 1930s up to the 2007 is construed as one big rally, and you're going to get one big correction for that one big rally, which is, you know, 60, 70 years anyway. And so that's what you're facing as far as your strategy is concerned. And basically, there isn't any way to go around the problem that it's just going to be terrible in that case. We have yet to confirm that to be true. In other words, it's possible that you run this T out, then you pull back and you make another T. But this T is getting bogged down, as we've seen last week, and there appear to be more problems coming out, which is consistent with the idea that you're having a problem. In other words, they're not going to let the banks go out and make too many real estate loans like they did the last time. They won't repeat that mistake. It's just that the banks will, you'll find out that they won't get any traction on solving the problems, and so those overhangs on bad loans would just persist with you, and the consumers will continue to retrench, which is the consumer is two-thirds of the economy, so that the retrenchment process just continues, and that's why you roll over. That's basically a depression or deflationary scenario. You can't get any traction on growth. So it's not a very pretty picture. Now, one of the questions that came up was relative to the idea that we talked about. I'm working on a number of projects which I am using my T3 observations to renew. The last one that we did was the first project that I did was to complete the study of the best bond strategy. My company has it with 10 different kinds of bonds and 10 different kinds of vehicles that you could short going into a depression, which would be like the S&P inverse funds. There are funds for the global market, which are done with swaps. They turned out to be short sales on either emerging markets or something like that. There's all kinds of gold bullion. You can buy gold bullion. You can do anything like that. And there are two themes that have come out from people who were very successful in the hedge fund business, that were very successful in making money coming down from the from this top in 07. One of them is amassing stores of gold bullion and putting it in warehouses for the long. It's a long-term accumulation pattern. They probably do some trading and so forth, but it's basically they own gold and not mining stocks. So there's a question, which one would you want to own, mining stocks or you want to use gold, which I will address that now. And the other person who was successful has decided that China is a short sale and that they've overextended themselves. And so the problem of overextension on the part of the U.S. market, which was true in the run-up to 2007, they sort of see the next leg down is that the Chinese are overextended and they're going to have problems and it's going to ripple through on the global market. And that's a completely different way to make money. In our case, we use high quality bonds, which is the long term bond. The symbol is VUSTX. Vanguard's long-term bond. We had a question under the ETFs. We don't use the ETFs. The ETFs have only been in existence for 1 year. But Vanguard has the VUSTX fund. It's been in business for 20 years, so you can get its record if you go back and look at it. The other question that came up of what is the Federal Reserve? Federal Reserve is raising interest rates, and so the question why would you want to buy bonds? Because if interest rates are going up on a long-term bond, the price is going down since the rates and the bond prices go in the opposite direction. Well, that's an interesting case with respect to the best bond strategy. You have to, at each time you have an intermediate T flip over from a bottom, make a bottom or make a top, you have to flip your strategy over. When the market went down and ended its decline in early March and started a rally, a lot of people sold into that rally. They put the money into intermediate term or long term government bonds, and they were immediately greeted by a price drop which was quite severe and lost 10% to 20% on the price of the bond, because once you start a recovery, the yield has to climb because the odds now favor that economic activity is going to grow and rates are going to naturally recover from a depression type of a scenario to a growth scenario. And so the question is, they kind of got caught in going in the wrong place. You have to be very careful about that. Well, I had some friends over who have been visiting me here for over the last 30 years, and they do a lot of technical analysis, and they were pulling up charts on the yields of the bonds. Some people do the analysis in the bond prices, which is upside down from the yields. But if you looked in the yields, and I showed them, I said, well, there's a T coming out of this bottom that projects there's a top in the yield on the 30-year bond is basically in the summer. It was a very long-term chart, so they had a lot of places where you could justify there were T's. And it looked like it was sort of in a little after the middle of the year. So, you know, it probably is the August area. So when you talk about the fact that the next strategy is to buy long-term government bonds, it's not now, because you're still running off the old story of the high-yield bonds, which are rising with yields dropping, rising in price, yields dropping, because they see the recovery makes the junk bonds more viable, and therefore the people are willing to hold them. And so the argument is that if you're going to, what's going to play out is that you won't want to own that stuff going into August. But when you get to August, you should see a low in the price of bonds and a high in the yields. And if you switch over at that time, what you get a chance to do is buy the bonds at a depressed price, which is what you want to do. And then, assuming the scenario is correct and you're going to go into a depression, the first thing the Federal Reserve is going to do, the question was what the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates. Well, if they see themselves facing a problem, they won't raise interest rates. And if they see that when you go start going down, that they didn't get any traction, they'll lower interest rates, you see. So they're going to end up fighting a 1932 type place where your interest rates they really don't help you. Whether you can lower, if you raise them, you'll kill yourself. If you lower them, you still got other problems. But that's not true yet either, because we haven't seen what the market looks like in August, so we can't really say that. But the point of the strategy is that when you get there, all this stuff will flip over and this is just a prelude to the, a roadmap as to what's going to happen. And so, you know, that those questions tend to get answers as you go through the. You have to sort of plan out the whole strategy before you see the logic of making that switch over. Now, the other question that came up was gold versus gold in bullion form versus a mining stock company like Tocqueville Gold was a mining company, but they all own some gold now. But generally, those mutual funds have, there's a law where you can hold 10. There was a law where you only hold up to 10% in bullion, and the rest of it had to be in equity companies, which means the only equities that are gold-oriented are mining companies. The problem, I got nicked in the last bear market by thinking about gold as a protective one, when in fact it turns out that the problem with the gold is what goes up in a bull market very well can't go up in a bear market when you flip over. It's the James Dines had an opposition, which is probably true, that you can't argue when you're in a bull market that gold is a great hedge against disaster, and that's why the people are buying it. What's happening is they're buying it for jewelry purposes, or it's rising with the general commodities market. And then when you turn over and you drop down, you lose that following for jewelry, particularly in India, where they have massive needs to have gold and jewelry because it's the only way they could legally own gold. And for historical reasons, they like gold. So what's going to happen is when you turn this thing over, you're going to find out that the gold, which has been in a bull market since actually the November low, is going to turn over and it's going to decline. Where the gold comes into play, and that's because the gold is going through its normal, goes along with the bull market, and then when you turn into a bear market, it comes down and it squeezes out that premium, and it's going to get squeezed out the most in the mining stock. So you don't want to ever go into a bear market owning mining stocks in this particular area. In 74, in the 70s, you always went in with the mining stocks because that was an inflation, and you're getting deflation alternating with inflation at each 40 years. So you can't use that as a history lesson. So what you find out is that when you get, after you go down in the bear market for some period of time, which is could be a year or something like that, you get to the point where you've squeezed all this interest in, people who were interested in gold for the aspect of jewelry, have gotten out of the market because they see that's not going to work. And the commodities like oil, they've gone down, and so this is kind of metals will go down because of lack of use, and gold will come down for that. Then you start getting people who are interested in defensive purposes starting to buy the oversold conditions, the big oversold conditions in gold, and that's really where you have to come back. And that one you don't use the mining indexes. That's the one where you want the GLD or some of the other things. So it's not something that you can go down in. The only things that I know of that will work is the things that lost money in the bull market will make money in the market. So that's the inverse funds, which are basically short sales on some equity index, whatever you want, or the long-term government bonds, which are losers going up because rates are rising and their prices are dropping, and then you reverse that process. And rather these other people, the people that are buying the gold may be doing hedging, so that what they do is they'll see something in a technical sense, and what they do is they'll hedge their basic this inventory they're building up with gold bars. What they'll do is they'll short some gold, some other gold thing, and trade that against it so that they're not being hit hard on their inventory. And that's the way the hedge funds play that game. So if you're not playing that kind of game, you just have to wait until you get that up. So the first thing you do is you have to put the gold thing off until the gold gets depressed after you go through this. Okay, so I'm just gonna I think probably stop this, and I'm gonna come back and we'll talk about strategies, review last week's correction and so forth, and I'll discuss a few other things relative to this big picture stuff. Thank you.